Prep sports now coming at you after week two of the high school football season, and the close games that eluded us last week came to us this week. A lot to talk about, as many challenges for a lot of local teams. Not as great of a week for Nevada teams as last week as far as taking on out-of-state opponents, but we learned a lot of fallout. Brewer, what stands out the most from your mind from last Friday?
I mean, it'd have to be that Arborview game. Just a tremendous fight in the Aggies. They rally for a fourth quarter win against the American Fork of Utah. Kind of reminded me a little bit of that Desert Pines playoff game from last year where they looked dead to rights there in the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter they kind of turned it up a little bit and flexed their muscles. The Arborview defense is phenomenal. Gave up some points but didn't quite break. And you know what? Moving forward in the season, when they get in some pretty big games in the playoffs, they're going to be able to lean back on this experience from last week and say, hey, we could get this done. So great win by Arborview. Real proud of what they're doing over there, 2-0.
35-34. They scored the game-winning touchdown in the final seconds. Darius Williams getting into the end zone to beat the Cavemen. I love that that's their mascot. I don't think we tripped on that last week until now. Arborview is down 3 touchdowns, I think, and 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, you just can't say enough. And I think American Fork's like a top 5 team in Utah. Of course, Arborview a top 5 team here. But, you know, a few years ago, you wouldn't expect a top 5 team here to beat a top 5 team in Utah. And I just think Arborview continues to progress. So can't say enough good things about what they did.
Yeah, that was an awesome victory for them. And the one cool thing for me, Case, is, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, so if I'm redundant, just grin and smile. But it's pretty cool to see the reaction from others at other schools when our teams do well. I really think that there's this, like, I know, this great sense of community and fellowship where we really care for each other. And I think a lot of folks in town were happy for Arborview, as Arborview's happy for other teams when they go and they win these road games. So that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So good.
Have I said that before?
I think you say some version of that every year.
Okay, well.
Well, we mentioned Darius Williams because he scored the game-winning touchdown, but I think a shout-out has to be in order for Daniel Mitchell, who had over 200 rushing yards, a pair of touchdowns. And Arborview, I think I hinted at it last week, but I knew they were going to open it up a little bit. I guess they had to because they were trailing, but they threw the ball a little bit, and Kyle Holmes proved very capable, taking over a quarterback, 7-for-12 for 74 yards and a touchdown. I know that was a question you had coming into the year, and I think everyone had. They had to replace, you know, not only their workhorse running back in Bubba Graham, but their 3-year starting quarterback too, and it looks like Kyle Holmes is up to the task.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have a fun playoff in the Mountain Region because I was over at the Desert Pines game, and the second half, Desert Pines looked like that team that I thought they'd be that had me pick them ahead of Arborview in the preseason top 10. Desert Pines has got a ton of dudes, man. Keith, a ton of dudes. Especially at the skill position. They've got guys like Michael Jackson III, who I saw play for the first time, who's just – super electric. They've got a freshman who scored a touchdown, you know, that DeAndre Moore, I couldn't find the kid's name. They've got Braden Thomas, Jet Solomon, the brother of Anu Solomon. Just a lot of Jimmies and Joes. But at the same time, in the first half, you saw a Desert Pines team that was really just tripped up by penalties and mistakes and, you know, not having enough players on the field. And you see where if they're focused and clicking and disciplined, that they could be a team that literally challenges Gorman. Like Arborview, Desert Pines, Liberty, I think could play for parts of a game with Gorman. Could they play 4 quarters? I don't know. But for Desert Pines to be in the conversation, they need to play disciplined. They weren't disciplined in the first half. They trailed at halftime against Minogue. And then second half, shut them out. Defense was great. The offense was a well-oiled machine, and they were taking care of business.
Yeah, so that game a little closer than it should have been, although DP still ended up beating Bishop Minogue from Reno 34-11. And it sounds like their talent did shine through, and you could see just how dangerous these guys could be. And I know they think they're a state championship contender. I think that was the best I never saw our interviews that got up from Media Day. I think the Lopez kid had like the greatest press conference ever. Did you watch that?
I did. Well, because I ended up leading with him on the El City team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that guy's great.
All right. I need to check out that video again, as that was very memorable. I know they don't – what I'm trying to get at is you said, you know, this is a team that could literally challenge Gorman, and I know some people probably already turned the podcast off, and I might be among them if I'm from the outside. I don't think they would have any chance against Gorman, but what I'm saying is they're not – there's no trepidation on their part. They're as confident as can be.
And I think two things. A, it's just the caliber kid they have. They have kids who bring confidence. Secondly, they've never played Gorman. So Liberty and Arborview have played Gorman repeatedly, have had teams that they thought were good, and then they get on the field and they just get crushed, right? 82-8 or whatever it was for Liberty. And Desert Pines has never played them. So in their minds, they still think that they could beat Gorman. The other teams, they may say, yeah, we're going to smack them in the mouth. They put their pants on just like we do. But in the back of their head, they're like, okay, got a tough hill to climb here against Gorman. Or they may think, okay, we do have a chance. Then they get in there and something doesn't go their way. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, it's Gorman. They're going to beat us. Oh, Gorman cheats or whatever the narrative is. And I think Desert Pines not having that history could be a benefit if they were to meet, which would be in the state championship game.
Right. Well, Desert Pines needs to, you know, clean up some of the mistakes, needs to, you know, make sure they don't get tripped up, which I think they have the last couple years. I know last year it was because of the brawl. They had to suspend or surrender. What's the word? Forfeit. God, I'm all over the place. They had to forfeit some games. But if Desert Pines and Arborview take care of business, they look like the top two teams on that side. And they would potentially be meeting in the semis, correct?
Correct. No. Arborview and DP would meet in the state semis. Yeah. The Mountain Region Championship game would be the state semis.
Yeah, and what I was saying is last year we got that game a little early.
Yeah, because
DP had to forfeit some games.
right over my
head. I didn't deliver it well. I didn't know what I was trying to say. It's just that you teased this whole conversation you started with by saying that's going to be a fun side of town. But I think right now there is a clear one, too, and it's Arbor and Desert Pines.
Exactly. But I tell you what, I'm interested to see how Centennial plays this week. They've got a road game in Utah, not playing like an all-world Utah team in, I think it's Washas. I don't know how to say it, Wotoskic. Either way, it's in your email.
Okay, I'll attempt it later once we get to that.
But here's Centennial, a team that's got a lot of pieces, right? Great young quarterback. He's got plenty of weapons, Colton Tenney. But they've never done the travel thing before. So this is Centennial's first chance to get on the road. How are they going to do in Utah? They're just going into southern Utah, not the end of the world. But I would hate to play Centennial in the playoffs. And I say that because I don't know if because Dustin Forsey spent some time with Talich, and I have a high opinion of Talich. But I think Forsey knows his way around a football field.
We've always said he's a good coach. We've agreed.
So I would hate to – I could see a scenario, even though DP handled Centennial in the playoffs last year, I could see a scenario where if DP played like they did in the first half against Minogue, where Centennial might be able to upset them in the playoffs.
Yeah, Centennial certainly the three already, and if they show some things these next couple weeks, they could be a three that's in that same tier with Arbor and Desert Pines, at least in my mind, but they have to prove it to me first. They'll have a chance this week in Utah. Going elsewhere in the conversation, you already mentioned their name, at least, that Desert Pines think they're going to have a chance to beat them. I think this is going to kind of go against everything you were saying about everyone rooting for everyone else, because I think a lot of people were probably happy to see Bishop Gorman lose to St. Louis in the Aloha Classic late Friday night.
Yeah, I think you're probably – well, yeah, you're probably right.
I'm right. I'm not climbing off this mountain.
You've got your pulse on the sensibilities of folks. But, yeah, Gorman falls to St. Louis of Hawaii. Gorman just started real slow. By the time they got back in the game, it was a one-touchdown game. They had a screen pass to the side that was kind of dropped, and Gorman stopped playing. St. Louis picked it up, rushed it in for a touchdown. I haven't seen video of the pass. I don't know if it was a clear behind the line of scrimmage thing, or if it was, you know, something that could be debatable. But St. Louis goes, and instead of Gorman basically driving to tie the game, St. Louis takes a 2-touchdown lead, ends up beating Gorman, and my projection of Gorman going undefeated this season falls by the wayside. Case Kiefer with a great
pick. Do I have to be a troll and point out that this just has to be your Gorman bias? The only reason I picked against them last week is I could tell you were super worried. I could tell you didn't think they were going to win this game. Well, yet you still picked them.
Well, you're right. I mean, so that's the thing. I made this proclamation at the beginning of the year that Gorman's going to run the table and go undefeated. I can't in game two pump the brakes.
Okay, that's a good excuse. I'll give you that slide. I knew after week one, even though they destroyed Orem or whoever, you were a little worried about this trip, and it just adds up with the trip. I agree with you that, you know, if St. Louis came here, I still think Gorman wins that game. But, I mean, it's tough just with body clock and everything else. You have to have a perfect game. And from what you're saying, it certainly sounds like Bishop Gorman did not have the perfect game.
Yeah, the game started at 10 p.m.
Yeah. Hard time. Yeah, that's a little rough.
Especially when, like, you got kids who are used to going to school that are, you know, waking up for class at 6, probably going to bed. I don't know what time a teenage kid goes to bed, but it could be bedtime for some of these kids.
Right, and that made it an 0-2 for Las Vegas on the islands, because Liberty also lost 34-22 to Mililani.
But they were up.
I was about to say, they were ahead, correct? So what are your takeaways from that one?
Well, my takeaway is that I really like the new Liberty quarterback. How fitting that the kid wears number 7, Kenyon Oblad's number.
Ah, and from Kenyon to Canyon. Canyon Stone King, correct?
Yeah. Do you want to know something else that's kind of neat? Liberty's code in our system is number 7 as well.
Okay. I had no idea. Yeah,
just
all right.
I'd let you know.
All right.
But I really like this quarterback. He's a sophomore. He's slinging around. Listen, if I'm Liberty, I don't care what my record is. Liberty, like, went all in this year. They love their team. They've got some young kids that could get up and down the field. And they're like, listen, let's just go get beat up by everybody we can. Take on a who's who, the toughest teams in the world. And let's try to be ready, because we know we're going to meet Gorman in the regional championship game. And the whole purpose of Morocco's being is to beat Bishop Gorman. And, you know, Liberty, all right, hey, maybe they let one get away on Friday against Mililani, right? They were up 16-0. But they got the experience of traveling. They played another tough team. So when they get in these playoff games against the Gorman, they're ready to go. And what do you know? This week they got the Poly Classic with St. John Bosco, who for all intents and purposes is the greatest team in America.
Right, the Polynesian Classic, it looks like, at Bishop Gorman. Liberty takes on Bosco. Gorman takes on Servite. That's what I was going to ask you, is how does it turn out that the Patriots get the tougher game of the two?
I don't know how the matchmakers work on that, who planned who to play who, but Liberty, you're right, got the toughest game, right?
Yeah, St. John Bosco looks like consensus first or second best team in the country. Yeah, so
Max Preps has them number 2 in the nation, number 1 in Cali. And they beat DeMatha from Good Counsel, Maryland. Oh, no, DeMatha from Maryland, 35-7 to open the season. And then Don Bosco Prep out of New Jersey, they put up a 56th spot. Whew. So you got Liberty with the travel to get back on a kind of a short week to play a good team. So, again, for Liberty, I don't think it matters. If I'm the Patriots, I just want to get as many reps as I can against good teams.
And stay healthy,
absolutely. Because if they play Chaparral every week, and granted my Cowboys are 2-0, about to be 3-0, they're not going to be ready to play Gorman.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. It just does look like this one is a really high asking price. On the other side of the Polynesian Classic, Gorman and Servite, they've played a lot over the years. Servite still in that mix of California, but it seems like Gorman should be the favorite in this one.
Yeah, Servite, since they've been playing Gorman, has kind of taken a little bit of a step back. Still a very prestigious program, 148-7 in their in their initial game of the year. They're a top 100 team. The Hut Dance is the coolest thing in all of high school sports, or the Hut, whatever it is, ceremony. It's probably not a dance. Google it, YouTube, there's a great video. And but yeah, Servite's kind of taken a step down. I think this is a great spot for Gorman to get its footing back and to get a W.
For sure. Well, before we get to the picks, speed around on the other three results that super stand out to me from week two, all decided by less than a touchdown. Foothill comes back to beat Canyon Springs 29-27. Coronado goes to Overton, where you say it's harder to win than, I don't know, anywhere in the country.
Than Honolulu.
Than Honolulu. The Cougars win 9-8. And on Thursday Night Lights, you called it Boulder City with, I would say, the slight upset over Cheyenne, 12-7.
Yeah, massive upset, especially because we know Cheyenne's got a lot of speed. To hold them to 7 points speaks volume about Boulder City. Great pick by myself. The Foothill Canyon game stands out. Canyon kind of imploded a little bit, gave up a double-digit lead. Our Mike Grimala was at the game for us, said there was a lot of penalties after the whistle for the Pioneers, and it kind of helped Foothill on one drive there to win the game. But kudos to Coy Riggin and company for pulling it out. That's a big win for Foothill. They're 2-0. Their D, Kiefer, is pretty good. I think when Green Valley and Foothill play, we're going to have two really good defenses.
That's new. Usually expect those to be shootouts, so yeah, that'll be cool.
Doesn't get any easier for Canyon, because now they go to Georgia this week to play basically the Bishop Gorman of the Atlanta area, a team that's highly respected in the ATL. Trying to find their name. That's how smart I am.
Well, that's
Marist, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with that. I know you've got some Georgia roots in your history.
Maybe need to see the name in front of me. Doesn't ring a bell off the top. Oh, Marist. Yeah, I know Marist. I thought you said does something. Yeah, that'll be a tough game. And that leaves lastly that we had to touch on. Shout out to the Fred Biletnikoff,
yeah,
Jr., new coach at Coronado, right? Picks up the win in Overton. If you listen back to the podcast last week, I'm pretty sure I was really close to picking them. I thought they had a chance, and they came through. I feel like Moapa is kind of synonymous with this early in the year. They have these, they play the schools with bigger numbers than them, more resources, and it's always like a low scoring game and can go either way at the end. You expect them usually to come out on top, but it was the Cougars on Friday.
Yeah, Coronado, which I don't know if they've scored an offensive touchdown all season, though. I think they had, was it three field goals against Moapa, right? Or was it a field goal?
Yeah, it looks like three field goals.
Three field goals. And in week one, they might have had one touchdown.
They also had three turnovers in that game, so that might have been the difference. Moapa Valley, like I said, always, I think they're always working the kinks out early. I don't think this takes a lot away from them. I think they'll be fine by the end of the year. But, you know, it was a close game, and Coronado's defense came up, got them some turnovers, and that was the difference.
I thought Lake Tahoe guy would be texting me first thing Saturday morning to
heat on Moapa Valley?
To hate on Moapa Valley.
But to no avail.
Not to hate. The guy doesn't hate, but to say, hey, we have a chance.
Yeah. Well, Coronado gets the job done, and be interesting to monitor them for the rest of the year. Any other things you want to touch on before we pick this latest slate of games?
You go through all the winners, right? Yeah, might have left one team out. I don't know.
We both picked them. That one, I don't know. It wasn't a big surprise. I know you're getting at Chaparral. I don't think I went through all the winners.
2-0. Yeah. Just took care of Spring Valley. Forced Spring Valley into six turnovers. Six. Case, that's one hand of five and another one.
Yeah.
Cowboys 2-0. Got Bonanza on TV Thursday night this week. So the Cougs got a, I mean, the Cowboys got a chance, baby.
Yeah, good for them. Good start to the season. Not taking anything away from Chaparral, and that's a good segue, because Bonanza at Chaparral, of course, the first game. Who do you got in this one?
Oh, come on. I wouldn't pick against my Cowboys in this spot on TV. Good spot for the Cowboys. Two games in, into the season to, you know, work out some kinks. I will tell you, Meshach Hawkins got hurt against Spring Valley. He's been great on the ground. I don't know if he's going to play against Bonanza, so that could open it up for the Bengals.
You hate Bonanza. You picked against him week one, and now you have him getting shut out 35-0. I think you're on the anti-Bonanza train.
Did you see what happened on Friday?
No.
Silverado put up 49 on him, 400 yards rushing.
All right, well, they still have a victory. I'm going Chaparral, too, but I think it'll be closer than Brewer. Liberty and...
Oh, hold on, bro. You going to pay out the $5?
Wait, what was that? I don't remember.
Boulder City. You had plus eight. Okay, go ahead.
All right, congrats. Yeah, there you go. You should have mentioned that in the when we were talking about that game.
until you said how close it was. All right, well, maybe I can milk $5.
Maybe I can get even in this week if we find one that we like. St. John Bosco coming to town to take on Liberty.
You know, again, tough spot for the Pats. I actually think this game's going to be a little closer than what many of the other people around town think. I got the Patriots losing, but closer than you think.
I got the Patriots losing big, and that's no slight against them. Just looks like St. John Bosco is really going to be a handful. So I think they're going to take this one. Canyon Springs going to Marist in Georgia.
This is a massively impossible spot for them. Traveling over two time zones. Marist is a top 250 team nationally, according to Max Preps.
The War Eagles.
I got Georgia.
I'm pretty sure if Marist is the one I'm thinking of, though, it's not. I would not say it's the Bishop Gorman of Atlanta. I think it's a public school.
Well, the one I Googled, it said it was a Catholic school.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
It says the War Eagles.
I might be getting it confused with somewhere else. Anyway, we're both going to be on the same side. It's too hard to not go with Marist here. Tough trip for Canyon Springs. We both got Marist. Centennial at Wasatch, Utah.
Yeah, I think this is a good spot for Centennial. It's a road game, but it's a pretty leisurely drive into Utah. And I think Centennial's really good. I got the Bulldogs. How far?
Whatever happened to the theory of don't pick a Nevada team out of state or whatever.
Well,
that's a theory when it's convenient.
Well, that's all theories are, theories when they're convenient.
I don't think that's the definition.
How far of a drive is it? I don't even know.
They're in Heber City, whatever that is.
Yeah, let's find out how far it is.
I've never heard of Heber City.
Neither have I.
So how could you fly there then?
Well, other bus routes. You can take a bus. Either way.
You can take a train. It's on the train tracks. It's a six-hour drive.
That's
in between Provo and Salt Lake.
That's actually a pretty good road game then.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're flying or taking a bus.
I'm not sure. You could fly into Salt Lake City easily. Looks like a coin flip to me. I'm going to just go with Wasatch out of state.
Just different.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough going on the road. I like the home team, especially in the out-of-state games. So I'm going to have to say, I hope you prove me wrong, Centennial. I hope you get up there and, you know, make this side of town even more interesting, as we were talking about earlier. But I'm going to go with Wasatch. Arborview, on the other hand, is going south, and they're taking on Hamilton, who looked pretty strong here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think Arborview on a neutral site with Hamilton... it would be a good game. It's a lot to ask going to Arizona after the emotions of that America Fork game. I got Hamilton. That's a good scheduling spot, though, for Arbor.
Yeah, I've got Hamilton as well. Tough assignment for the Aggies, especially coming off that emotional victory. I would not be shocked if they won, but I can't call for it. I'm going with Hamilton. El Dorado still doing the California rounds. They have El Toro coming to town this week.
Speaking of teams that's trying to find its footing offensively, the Sun Devils struggling to move the ball. I got Cali.
I've got to take El Toro as well. This next one really throwing me for a loop. Pretty tough. Moapa Valley hosting Green Valley. I think they've played before. I want to say Green Valley got the best of them a couple of years ago.
I think it was at Green Valley.
In Moapa, I think Moapa had beat them also one time I've been here. So they have played before. Moapa coming off the loss. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't believe this. CK, Green Valley's defense is stout. They gave up 3 points last week. I hate picking against Moapa Valley at home because we literally could count on one hand how many times they've lost at home in the history of the show.
Maybe.
Would be close. Maybe. Tell me the times.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I would say, is it more than five? I would say yes.
No. Desert Pines, the game that got reversed.
Coronado,
Sunrise Mountain in the playoffs. I think they've lost 3 times at home in the last 10 years.
Wow. If that's true, that's insane. I'm saying over. I'm taking the over, though. I think it's going to take way too long for us to sit here on air and look it up.
They'll text us from the valley over there. But I got the Gators. I mean, it's a 4A school against a 3A school. And if they don't, you know, get overwhelmed in the travel, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm really tempted to take Moapa Valley, but it's impressive how good Green Valley's defense has been. And we saw that Moapa Valley had some trouble scoring last week. So I've got to go with Green Valley as well, though. Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going Green Valley. Legacy and Paraclete from California.
Yeah, this is a game where I go back to theory number one. Any Vegas team in Cali, I'll take the Cali team. Let me ask you, I hate to go back one. If Coronado wouldn't have beat Moapa, would you have taken Moapa?
Probably not with what Green Valley has done this year. If Green Valley was in these shootouts like they were a couple years ago or even last year and they were winning games 39-30, so they beat Durango like 39-3 or something last week. I've liked what I've seen from their defense.
Okay, and you were at the Basic game. If Basic and Coronado played right now, who would you take? Because that's likely who's going to decide the fourth.
I'm just really biased because they had no chance against
Arbor.
I might lean Basic still. I don't want to go too crazy with. I came into the season thinking Basic would be better. So
yeah, not that it matters because if you take fourth in that league, you got to play Gorman anyway. So
yeah, I'm gonna go with Legacy here. Actually, why not?
Okay.
I don't know how we got off on that. I think it's a close game. I don't necessarily think they'll be overwhelmed by the travel. I'm gonna say Legacy in a close game.
Yeah, I think this is just right into the San Bernardino part of California. So okay, it's not like you're going deep into LA.
Right, and they just destroyed Burroughs, so I know Paraclete's better. I'm going Legacy though. Mojave at Cimarron Memorial.
Cimarron.
Yep, Cimarron for me as well. Basic got a break after that aforementioned beat down by Arborview, and now they are hosting Durango.
Yeah, I think this is a good spot for Basic. We all know that the jump from week one to week two kind of lets you know what kind of team you have. I expect Basic to make a jump. Obviously, the defensive front from Durango won't be as good as Arborview's. I think the Wolfpack get a win, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's a 2 touchdown or less game.
Yeah, I think it's close as well, but I'm going Basic again, not overreacting to what we saw in week one. Las Vegas at Silverado. Man, before you just gave me the rundown on what Silverado did last week, I might be really tempted to pick your Wildcats here, but I'm a little scared after you just said how much Silverado beat Bonanza down by. I think I got to go with the Skyhawks.
Yeah, so Vegas High went into Colorado, got a good win. The combination of Scroggins and Davis are two really good athletes on the field. They're slinging the ball around well. Vegas, I don't know if they're back, but a lot of people think that they're back. A lot of people think that they got a chance to compete on that side of town. Knowing what Silverado did on the ground, 400 yards rushing, even though it was a Bonanza team that's probably not that good tackling, I think that they've got some momentum. They're going to push Vegas off the ball. I got the Hawks.
Yep, so we're in agreement on that one. Clark versus Valley.
Yeah, Clark, big win last week against Rancho. They scored in the first drive of the game and the last drive of the game. Struggled to move the ball in between. Valley was improved against Desert Oasis. My heart of hearts always says Valley, but I'm picking Clark.
Man, maybe I shouldn't let your description sway me so much, but it sounds like if Clark has that big of a problem with offense, it might be easier to trust the Vikings offense. So I'm going to switch. I was going to go with Clark. I think I'm going to go with Valley instead. I think they'll have an easier time scoring.
A true coin flip of a game, though,
CK. All right, so we're on different sides then, fittingly. Desert Oasis at Palo Verde.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. Palo Verde is a step up in competition for Dio. Dio's 2-0. Christian Vaughn's been 200-plus in each of the initial two games. But again, who's really is they've beat Del Sol and they've beat Valley. Now they go over to Palo. It's Palo's first home game. After a week off, Palo's got a blackout. You expect Palo to make a jump from week one to week two, especially with a bye. Even though Palo struggled to put Durango away, this is a coin flip game. I just got to go with what I know, and that's Christian Vaughn's going to get his, and I got the D-backs.
This is one of those annual spots where I pick up a game on you because I have to remind you that football is a team game and not one person. You're picking this based off one person, Christian Vaughn. I think Palo has more guys at more positions. I think the Panthers should be the favorite here. I'm kind of surprised you're picking against them. But then again, you hate Palo, so.
I don't hate
I'm Palo. Trying to trigger you, and you're so calm today. Nah, what's going on? You're so zen.
I mean, I had Boulder City.
I called you a Gorman homer and a Palo hater, and you're nothing.
The Gorman homer's on this. Might be on my tombstone. It's the narrative.
Okay.
Like, well, I won't go to Gorman for like 6 months. I'll put one tweet up, and the same guy will be like, ah, there's Brewer, Gorman homer. Like, all right, take it.
All right. Well, we're going to be on different sides. I like Palo Verde here. You like Desert Oasis. Here's another close one. Some close games here in the home stretch. Virgin Valley at Del Sol.
Yeah, CK, this is another one. Get that coin out. I just said, you know what? I was high on Del Sol coming into the year. You know, Flowers and Wilkes. And if they're going to get it done, they're going to get it done. If they win this game, they're a contender in the 3A. I'm going with my Dragons.
Yeah, my coin actually going to land on the same side this time around.
Wow.
I liked Del Sol a lot out of our media day. I told you that I was impressed by the kids, and I know, as I mentioned last week, Virgin Valley's had some injuries. Now, though, I'm seeing their score last week. They beat Pahrump Valley 20-0. Now I'm really second-guessing things. Their defense seems awfully good. I don't know, though. I committed to Del Sol. I think this is Del Sol's offense versus Virgin Valley's defense. Whatever comes down to that. If Virgin Valley's defense clamps down on them, they're going to win a low-scoring game. If they can't, they're going to get in a shootout, and I don't think they can keep up. So I'm going to go Del Sol, but we might both be on the underdog there.
Okay.
See how it goes. Pahrump Valley and Slam Academy. You've been out and seen Slam Academy up close and personal.
Yeah, story on them today. They're probably a year or two away. They got a lot of sophomores in key spots. I think this is a good spot for Pahrump to get its footing. And I think the game's at Shap, CK.
Okay. I'm going Pahrump Valley as well. Rancho at Cheyenne, two teams coming off of losses.
Yeah, Cheyenne's a lot better, though. I'll take the Shields.
Yeah, I'm going with Cheyenne. Coronado coming off a big win against Sunrise Mountain.
Yeah, Sunrise Mountain got after Western, got a dub, but I think this is a spot for the Cougs to kind of put their foot to the pedal and get a dub.
Man, we're just disrespecting Desert Pines like that? You didn't tell me while we were talking about the Polynesian Classic that they're part of it, too. They're taking on Logan. So is this three games back-to-back-to-back, or how are they doing this?
Yeah, so Saturday Liberty plays, and then Friday night Liberty plays, and then Saturday it's noon 4 and 8, I believe, are the times for the other games. DP's the first one.
Okay, so very interesting. Cool to see them be able to get in on the action there. I think it looks like they have a much easier assignment than the last two. Logan only 1-2 right now. They've given up a lot of points even in their win. We're both high on Desert Pines, and I think if you're high on Desert Pines, you can't pick them to lose here.
Yeah, I agree. Desert Pines should cruise through that, but it's nice for them to be in the Classic, go over to Gorman and get to be part of the coolness. I will tell you, tickets for the Poly Classic, CK.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to all the games, it's $55 for four games.
What's the fourth?
First game is Liberty.
Okay.
It's Friday, and then DP
Faith. Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad. All right. Yeah. I didn't realize Faith was still in it, too. Yeah. So
and if you want to go to one game individually, it's $16. And apparently they're going to shuffle everybody out on Saturday after every game.
Whew, good luck with that. All right, but yeah, check out your tickets if you want to go. The final two games, both part of that Polynesian Classic, Saguaro versus Faith Lutheran. Man, Faith Lutheran has kind of gotten beat up in these out-of-state games, and I don't see it changing here.
Yeah, Saguaro is another tough team from Arizona. I remember the Sullenberger Classic used to be that border war. Kind of got a mini Sullenberger Classic at the, you know, with all these teams playing Arizona teams, right? Liberty had played a game, Arbor's getting a game, Faith. So, but I got Saguaro. They're going to beat Faith.
Stunningly, Nevada, and I know it's different levels of competition, but going to wind up with a better record against California teams than Arizona teams because they look like they're an underdog in all these games. We're both on Saguaro. Bishop Gorman and Servite to finish us off.
Yeah, I think Gorman's probably a few notches better than Servite.
Yeah, I'm probably a little angry, ready to get back out on the field. I'm going Gorman as well. You can check out these picks online, as always. Or come back next Monday, where we will be back breaking down these games. Any parting thoughts, Ray?
No parting thoughts this week. I know the last two times I've kind of cut you off on your grand finale.
Oh, I know. I just wanted to make sure. Thanks a lot, as always, for listening to Prep Sports Now. And enjoy the games this weekend. And come join us again next week for more talk on high school football.